Here's the Marketplace Index for Tuesday the 7th. I'm Bob Moon in for David Brancaccio. This program is about what's driving today's markets and what that says about the real economy. But first, let's do the numbers. Today, the Dow climbed 33 points to 12,878, better than a quarter of 1%. Why the optimism? Seems politicians on both sides of the Atlantic have been saying all the right things, even if they still haven't nailed down a debt deal for Greece. More on that in a moment. The S&P 500 edged up 2 points. That's just shy of a quarter percent. NASDAQ Composite Index tacked on 2 points, just a tiny fraction of a percent. The 10-year Treasury yield beefed up to 1.97% today. No big waves on Wall Street, or pretty much since the start of the year, for that matter. So what's happened to all that volatility that almost became the norm for 2011? In December alone, the S&P 500 closed up or down by more than 1% 9 times. So far this year, only 3. What's calmed the waters? Eric Ristabin is chief investment strategist at Russell Investments.
The European governments collectively have responded to the crisis in Europe, and Europe was the source of all of that volatility last year.
They still haven't solved it, so why aren't we still continuing to see that volatility?
One of the things that they have done is they've taken the risk that was being presented last year in the liquidity, meaning that every time there was bad news about the sovereign debt crisis, incremental pressure was put on banks in Europe in terms of their ability to borrow money, even overnight. And what they've done is the ECB has now opened up a permanent lending facility, effectively, for these banks to borrow directly from the ECB.
The European Central Bank.
And that reality of the European Central Bank directly lending to banks has taken a lot of that liquidity pressure off the market, and I think probably the biggest single factor in the reduction of volatility.
So is this lack of volatility teaching us anything about what caused all the volatility before?
I think it reaffirms that we are likely in a long period of policy, government policy, having a disproportional impact on market returns. That we've experienced that for the last 4 years. I don't see a short-term end to that, and I think people need to get used to market volatility being created by policy decisions that politicians and bankers are making.
Investment strategist Eric Ristabin at Russell Investments. It's not just European politicians who've been reassuring the markets. Today, Federal Reserve boss Ben Bernanke renewed his pledge to shield the U.S. from fallout from Europe's debt troubles. Bernanke testified before the Senate Budget Committee, and he vowed to take every available step to protect the U.S. financial system and economy. Now it's time for the Daily Pulse, our take on the health of the U.S. economy. The Pulse is up today on news that America is edging closer to energy independence. After 20 years of deepening reliance on foreign sources, domestic energy production has surged in just the last half decade, and we now turn out 81% of what we consume. According to a study by Bloomberg, that's largely due to a combination of new oil and gas drilling technologies, which have unearthed vast energy deposits trapped beneath American bedrock. While total independence might still be a way off at the current pace, the study imagines the U.S. becoming the biggest energy producer on Earth by 2020. For more on how we're keeping the lights on and to see how we're doing monitoring the pulse of the economy, go to marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon, in for David Brancaccio, with the Marketplace Index. On APM, American Public Media.